Good afternoon, everyone. Does valet parking and VIP seating come with this too? There's an uproar over a pricey bacon cheeseburger and fries at Five Guys. It's causing a stir on social media, baffling many over why the combo cost a customer nearly $25. We'll explain. In the headlines on the update this Tuesday, Senator Bob Menendez and his wife, they've pleaded not guilty to new obstruction of justice charges in a New York court. We'll have details. A union that represents firefighters in the city is raising concerns over potential disciplinary actions against some of its members after a pro-Donald Trump chant broke out during a fire department ceremony last week. Yankee ace Gerrit Cole will have an MRI of his right elbow after experiencing issues in bouncing back following spring training starts. And a town in Massachusetts that adopted an unusual ordinance banning the sale of tobacco to anyone that's born in the 21st century is being looked at as a possible model for other cities and towns, hoping to further clamp down on cigarettes and other tobacco products. This is the update, Tuesday, March the 12th, 2024. Every city has a story. And in New York City, there just happens to be a lot of them. From the Tommy Lynn stage, this is the update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know, because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks. Every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Tuesday that marks the start of at least a little bit of really warm temperatures. I mean, after all the rain and the wind that we've had in the last several days, this is a treat that you definitely want to get out there and savor. I mean, mid-60s today, upper 60s tomorrow, 70 degrees on Thursday. Yes, it's definitely going to be a great time to get out there and just enjoy the sunshine stuff, you know? By the way, I know that daylight saving time is still having an effect on me because I completely forgot. Well, not completely, but yesterday I got out of work and realized, oh, wait, it's still daylight out here. And the sun doesn't go down for about another 2 hours or so. It's always a bit of an adjustment on that first day. But, you know, you will gradually start to remember. Oh, yeah, there's more daylight now. Sun goes down at 7 o'clock tonight as the days will just get longer and longer. We start making our way to the summer solstice in June. I'm Brandon Julian, of course, folks. We appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Tuesday's proceedings with Senator Bob Menendez and his wife. They've both pleaded not guilty to new obstruction of justice charges in a New York court. The new charges were in a rewritten indictment that was returned last week against the Democrat in Manhattan federal court. Menendez and his wife Nadine entered the pleas yesterday to a rewritten indictment containing new charges of conspiracy to obstruct justice and also just plain old obstruction of justice. The couple is charged with conspiring with three businessmen to accept bribes of gold bars, cash, and a luxury car in return for the senators' help in projects pursued by the businessmen. A trial is scheduled for May. Now, on to some of the other news of this Tuesday. And George Soros' Open Society Foundations announced a leadership change yesterday with his president, Mark Mulock Brown, stepping down in June. He will be replaced by a senior leader, Binifer Naroji, who will be the first woman from the Global South to lead OSF. Soros, the billionaire investor, said that when he started the foundations decades ago, he hoped its work would be global in scope. Naroji is Kenyan from an Indian family. She was OSF's vice president of programs and was part of a small senior leadership team overseeing an ongoing transition at the foundations. And that included one of Soros's own sons, Alex, becoming the chairman of the board. One of the lawyers for E. Jean Carroll, the writer that won that $83 million defamation award against the former president, suggests that a new defamation lawsuit is possible after the ex-president, against him, I should say, after he resumed verbal attacks against her at a rally over the weekend. Carroll, of course, won the jury award back in January after he said that she made up claims that he sexually attacked her in 1996 in a luxury Manhattan department store dressing room. Attorney Roberta Kaplan issued a statement yesterday noting that the statute of limitations for defamation in most jurisdictions ranges from 1 to 3 years. Kaplan says that lawyers for Carroll are monitoring every statement that Trump makes about the 80-year-old writer. Up north we go now to Batavia, where police there say that a veteran sheriff's deputy died after being attacked in a casino, and a patron there has now been charged with manslaughter. Genesee County Sheriff Sergeant Thomas Sanfratello died early on Sunday morning after trying to escort a man and a woman out of the bar area of Batavia Downs. The Batavia PD says that Sanfratello became unresponsive during an altercation with the man. Attempts to revive the deputy by performing CPR were unsuccessful. Michael Elmore was charged with first-degree manslaughter. A phone message was left with his lawyer. There's a women's roller derby league that has now asked the court in the state to invalidate Bruce Blakeman's order on Long Island. His order banning female sports teams with transgender athletes from using county facilities, saying that it's discriminatory and it also violates state law. The lawsuit filed yesterday by the New York Civil Liberties Union on behalf of the Long Island Roller Rebels argues that the state's human rights and civil rights statutes explicitly prohibits discrimination based on gender identity. It's the latest salvo in the increasingly litigious battle over an executive order that was signed by the Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman last month. Back here in the city limits, one of the unions that represents firefighters in this town is now raising concerns over potential disciplinary actions against some of its members. You see, Attorney General Tish James was booed and a pro-Donald Trump chant broke out during a fire department ceremony last week. The Democrat faced a chorus of jeers as she addressed a department promotion ceremony last Thursday in Brooklyn. Fire officials, in an internal note that was shared widely on social media, called the conduct, quote, grossly inappropriate, and told firefighters that political expression isn't appropriate while on the job. The department said that officials are reviewing the video of the incident. Of course, James's office won a $355 million verdict against the former president for lying about his wealth last month. Meanwhile, House Republicans, they're moving ahead with a bill that would require Chinese company ByteDance to sell TikTok or face a ban here in the United States, even as the former president is voicing opposition to the effort. House leadership, they've scheduled a vote on the measure for tomorrow. A vote for the bill would represent an unusual break with the former president by House Republicans, but Speaker Mike Johnson and others had already forcefully come out in favor of the bill last week. Representative Michael McCaul, the chairman of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, says that he's still confident that the bill is, quote, going to sail in the House. In other news, the coaching job that Will Brown has done in his first year at the College of St. Rose is quite impressive. The Golden Knights are in the NCAA Division II Women's Tournament for the first time in 13 years. Plus, they led the country in points allowed per game and field goal percentage in defense. But Brown won't be at St. Rose this season. As a matter of fact, nobody will be. There is no next season, since the school is closing. And finally, the former president is seeking to delay his March 25th hush money trial until the Supreme Court can rule on the presidential immunity claims that he raised in another of his criminal cases. The former president's lawyers asked yesterday, Manhattan judge Juan Manuel Merchan to adjourn the criminal trial indefinitely until Trump's immunity claim in his Washington, D.C. election interference case is resolved. Merchan did not immediately rule on the matter. Trump contends, of course, that he's immune from prosecution for conduct alleged to involve official acts during tenure in office. His lawyer argued that some of the evidence and alleged acts in the hush money case overlap with his time in the White House and constitute official acts. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Tuesday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports, and if Yankee fans should be concerned, as a Yankee ace, Gerrit Cole is going to have an MRI of his right elbow after he's experiencing issues in bouncing back following his spring training starts. We're going to talk together the latest national news. Out in the American West in California, the warden of a troubled federal women's prison there has now been ousted just months into his tenure. And at the end of the broadcast today, does valet parking and VIP seating come with this? There's an uproar over a pricey bacon cheeseburger and fries at Five Guys. It's causing a stir on social media, baffling many over why the combo cost a customer nearly $25. Gonna talk about this and a lot more too, of course, folks. When the update, Brianna Julian, on a Tuesday, with the weather feeling like it's early spring, continues in just a moment. From New York, a tropical island paradise. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Victor? after I deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003, at 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, folks, I don't know about you, but this kind of feels like a bit of a misdemeanor. You know, I think I might have just summoned something. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions, between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue. A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46 and S96 Limited until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Down in spring training, where the start of the regular season is rapidly approaching, Yankee ace, Gerrit Cole, is going to have an MRI of his right elbow after experiencing some issues in bouncing back following his spring training starts. The 2023 Cy Young Award winner in the American League has been very durable in his career, making at least 30 starts in each of the last six full regular seasons. Notice we said full, and that does not count 2020. Yankee manager Aaron Boone said, quote, he described it as his recovery leading into his next start, has been more akin to what he feels in the season when he's making 100 pitches. The 33-year-old has been throwing fewer pitches in his spring training starts this year than the other members in the rotation. From the diamond, let's go over to the ice. Rangers and the Devils going at it at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. As the regular season, of course, is coming to a close, everybody is jockeying for playoff position. Rangers could bolster it with the win. Devils are just trying to stay alive. Well, Mika Zibanejad and Eric Gustafsson scored in the second as the Rangers beat the Devils 3-1. Vincent Trocheck also scored, and Jonathan Quick made 20 saves as the first-place Rangers won the second in a row after losing three of the last four. New York is 14-3-2 in their last 19 games. Devils defenseman Simon Nemec spoiled Quick's bid for a shutout with just 2:34 to play. Kaapo Kähkönen finished with 23 saves in his debut for Jersey after he was acquired from the Sharks last week. The Devils, though, lost for the 8th time in 11 games and the 3rd time in their last 4 under their interim coach Travis Green, who replaced Lindsey Ruff back on the 4th, which was last Monday. They trail Detroit, the Red Wings, by 6 points for the second wild card in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, the Islanders, they were the late game. They were playing in Tinseltown, Los Angeles, taking on the Kings. They're also jockeying for playoff position. David Rittich stopped 26 shots for his 6th career shutout. Adrian Kempe reached the 20-goal mark for the 3rd straight year, and the Kings snapped the Islanders' 6-game winning streak 3-0. It was the Kings' 5th shutout of the year and the 2nd for Rittich. Trevor Moore had a goal and an assist, and Philip Danault also scored for the Kings, who went 3-1-1 during their 5-game homestand. The Kings, they are 3rd in the Pacific Division with 77 points. The Islanders didn't convert on any of their 5 power play opportunities and were blanked for the 5th time. They're also tied with the Red Wings for the 2nd and final wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference with 72 points. Ilya Sorokin made 22 saves. In a settlement over the controversial Don't Say Gay law, students and teachers can discuss sexual orientation and gender in classrooms in Florida, provided that it's not part of the instruction. Airbnb, they're banning the use of indoor security cameras in the listings on its site around the world by the end of next month. And two dogs, they've died during the annual Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. The first time ever the dogs have died during the race in 5 years. We're going to talk about this and more because national news, it's next for us around here, of course. When the update of Brandon Julian continues. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Did I write that line? Well, maybe I actually did. We're now celebrating 7 years of this program. 7 long news-filled years. My producers, who look for any excuse to hold a celebration, are having one every weekend as we go into the update archives to play you an episode from throughout the many years of this program. And then on the weekends, also once a month, we'll play an episode from my list of personal favorites throughout the many years of this program, as I explain to you why that particular episode is one of my favorites. So every weekend, dig into the update archives with us to remember where you were when this particular episode aired. And then once a month, the list of my favorite episodes as well. Keep listening on the weekends because it'll be a party that you will never forget. Unless, of course, you can't actually remember it from, well, you know, the night before. You know, as I was growing up, my mother told me to always wipe my feet on the mat before I go into the studio. Well, Mom, this one's for you. There's a lot more show to stick around and listen to as the update of Brandon Julian. We'll be right back after these messages. Brandon Julian. You know, if I read something wrong in the script of stories that I have for the program, my producers during the break will come up to me and be like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'll usually say something like, "I don't know, just pissed. I don't want to go home." Why is that? "I think my house is haunted." "Why do you say that?" "My wife is there." And it's nothing mean on my wife, nothing rude about it either. I love her dearly, but every once in a while, she'll just give me the look with her eyes that just says, "Get out." This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. You know, you'll hear comedians and other people say,
out there that marriage is an institution that later cost some people tens of millions of dollars to get themselves out of. Or you'll hear people say that marriage is an institution. Well, so is Alcatraz. And I'm thinking, you can't compare marriage to prison. And those same people would be like, well, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, in prison, the warden doesn't max out your credit cards. This is The Update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, on a Tuesday, everyone. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. And, you know, hopefully you take a little bit of time to actually enjoy the nice weather that we got going on out there. You know, before the weather takes a turn, once again, as Mother Nature often has it. let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. and we're going to start out in the American West in California, where the warden of a troubled federal women's prison there has now been ousted just months into his tenure. The announcement comes after FBI agents yesterday, they hold boxes of evidence from the facility in an apparent escalation of a years-long investigation that put a former warden and other employees behind bars for sexually abusing inmates. Government lawyers say in court papers that Art Dolgov was removed as warden of FCI Dublin in the wake of allegations that his staff had retaliated against an inmate who testified back in January in a lawsuit against the prison. The Federal Bureau of Prisons confirmed the leadership shakeup at the low-security Bay Area facility. In other news, we're going to go down to Orlando in Florida, where students and teachers, they can discuss sexual orientation and gender identity in classrooms, provided that it's not part of instruction. That's according at least to a settlement reached yesterday between Florida education officials and civil rights attorneys, who had challenged a state law which the critics had dubbed Don't Say Gay. The settlement clarifies what is allowed in Florida classrooms following passage 2 years ago of the law prohibiting instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity in early grades. Opponents had said that the law created confusion about whether teachers could identify themselves as LGBTQ. Governor DeSantis's office had described the settlement as a win since the law remains intact. The Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, he's now announced an additional $100 million to finance the deployment of a multinational force mission to Haiti following a meeting with Caribbean leaders in Jamaica to halt the country's violent crisis. Blinken also announced another $33 million in humanitarian aid and the creation of a joint proposal agreed on by Caribbean leaders and Haitian stakeholders that would expedite the creation of a, quote, presidential college. He said that the college would take, quote, concrete steps that he did not identify to meet the needs of Haitian people and enable the pending deployment of the multinational force to be led by Kenya. Back here in the city of New York, Airbnb, they now say they're going to be banning the use of indoor security cameras in listings on their site around the world by the end of next month. The San Francisco-based online rental platform said yesterday that it's making the change to simplify its security camera policy while prioritizing privacy. Under the new policy, hosts will still be allowed to use doorbell cameras and noise decibel monitors, which are only allowed in common spaces, as long as the location and the presence of the devices are disclosed. Airbnb says that they expect the new policy to impact a small number of hosts because the majority of its listings do not report having indoor security cameras. Up north in Brookline in Massachusetts, one town there that adopted an unusual ordinance banning the sale of tobacco to anyone born in the 21st century is being looked at now as a possible model for other cities and towns that are hoping to further clamp down on cigarettes and other tobacco products. The bylaw is the first of its law in the country. It was adopted by Brookline back in 2020, and last week was upheld by the state's highest court. The ruling opens the door for other communities to adopt similar bans that would, decades from now, eventually bar all future generations from buying tobacco. And finally, we're going to go up north to Anchorage in Alaska, where two dogs have died during the annual Iditarod Trail sled dog race, marking the first time that a dog has died during the race in 5 years, and prompting renewed calls from an animal rights group to end the 1,000-mile race. Dogs belonging to mushers Hunter Keefe of Alaska and Isaac Tiford of Salt Lake City collapsed and died despite the efforts to revive them. Both mushers voluntarily quit the race per the Iditarod rules. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals called for the race to end before more dogs die. The organization, they had staged a protest ahead of the start of the race. There's outrage going on social media, particularly at Five Guys, after a bacon cheeseburger and fries cost a customer nearly $25. Does it come with valet parking and VIP seating too? Let's talk about this, because your honorable mention is next when the update of Brandon Julian continues.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy, but I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is the update with Brandon Julian. available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Tuesday, everyone. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. Like I said before, hopefully you get out there and enjoy the sunshine at least a little bit, because, you know, it's not going to last forever. It will eventually get colder again. We have just enough time left today, of course, folks, for your honorable mention. Now, I don't know about you guys, if you've ever eaten at Five Guys. It's a pretty pricey chain, I will admit. The last time I was at a Five Guys was by the one that's near the Staten Island Mall. And I just wanted a grilled cheese sandwich because I was doing some shopping and I had missed the bus to go back up to the ferry. Go figure. And I figured, you know, I might as well just get something to eat while I'm here and wait for the next bus. Little did I know that one grilled cheese cost me like $10. I'm not joking about that price either. And also, it will get you a feel of what we are about to, dive into here. Apparently, when you eat at Five Guys, does it come, you know, with valet parking and VIP seating? Well, there's an uproar going on over a pricey bacon cheeseburger and fries, said Five Guys. It's causing a stir on social media once again, baffling many over why a combo cost a customer nearly $25. A user account on X, formerly known as Twitter, exposed the popular fast food joint by posting a receipt he found on Reddit that showed that a bacon cheeseburger alone cost $12.49. The X user wrote, quote, Five Guys prices are just out of control. $24 for one person. The receipt showed an order of a bacon cheeseburger that cost $12.49, one soda priced at $2.89, and a small fries for $5.19, all amounting to $21.91. You know, for the same amount of money, you could get the new deal that Domino's has been promoting. You get, what, two pizzas? What actually is the Domino's deal? Let's actually pull it up right now since I have my computer in front of me. Domino's perfect combo deal. Okay. So, you know, for the Domino's perfect combo deal, you get two pizzas, an order of the cinnamon twists and a parmesan bread bites. You could get all that for the low, low price of just $19.99. Good Lord. And even more eyebrow raising was the tip for $2.19 that was posted on the receipt. The post, which generated over 25 million views on X, was captioned, quote, I guess I was expecting about $12 to $15 per person for Five Guys. $22 without the tip just seems to cross the line. What is the right amount these days? Well, heated users, they stormed into the comments section, with many sounding off on the pricey meal they feel comes from a, quote, overrated fast food joint. One person said, quote, that's not even factoring how overrated they are. $10 should be able to get you a premium burger from a higher end place. Drink and fries plus $5. Pretty sure at McDonald's you can get the a quarter pounder with cheese deluxe for about $10. One reply read, split that meal with a friend and then go on a walk. One reply read, split that meal with a friend and then go for a walk. Meanwhile, other users focus their ire on the tip. Somebody questioned, what are you tipping? One person questioned, what are you tipping for anyways? Another said, Five Guys is an order and pay at the counter restaurant. Why is there a tip included? Oh, God. Of course, as inflation continues to rock the country and Americans' wallets, the rise of fast food prices has garnered and gained major national attention. One couple went viral after sharing their money-saving hack for how to beat the inflation-era prices at Five Guys. An account the couple runs called @NateAndSarahHeats they revealed in a clip on TikTok, which has been viewed nearly a quarter of a million times. Next time you're at Five Guys, just order a double cheeseburger with all the toppings. The couple, named Nate and Sarah, Nate and Sarah Eats. There we go. The couple, named Nate and Sarah, then let viewers in on a little secret by instructing them to start asking for an extra bun on the side with the order to make it into two single cheeseburgers. They then showed firsthand how to turn one double into two single cheeseburgers as they took the two patties and transferred them over to the second bun. They said that's two meals for less than half the price of buying them separately. And last week, Wendy's was forced to clarify, of course, their Uber-style dynamic pricing announcement, which said that the cost of menu items will fluctuate throughout the day based on demand. The term was used in relation to Uber's model that inches fares higher when demand spikes, but a spokesperson for Wendy's scaled back the announcement. Heidi Shore said, quote, to clarify, Wendy's will not implement surge pricing, which is the practice of raising prices when demand is highest. She added that there are, quote, no plans to do that, and we would not raise prices when our customers are visiting us most. Which is, you know, good. I don't think I would want to pay for a Son of Baconator to fluctuate when I'm trying to get something at the busiest time of the day. It's just ludicrous, you know? I'm going to let you guys ponder on this. As we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Tuesday, March the 12th, 2024. That is the update on this Tuesday. I'm Brandon Joy, and we appreciate you being here with us. In the latest of my series, my favorite episode series, I explained to you why Halloween of 2017, back in year number one, was not your traditional episode of the program, as you will be able to listen to on Saturday, this coming Saturday on the 16th, wherever you listen to this podcast. So until you don the shades, and who knows, maybe even get some ice cream, it's good weather for it. In the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hopefully the your news, folks, it will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, folks, please be well. And, honey, I can't wait to get back home tonight and eat some of that figgy pudding. We have to eat it, you know. It's a gift. Temperatures in the upper 60s tomorrow, making the run to 70 on Thursday. It's a good time to be outside. Let's talk about that a lot more, too, of course, folks, when I see all of you right back here tomorrow. See you then.